Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. This Aspire radio program, this satsang, is being recorded for October the 2nd, 2016, and I'm very grateful you chose to be with us. We always have a theme when we're doing Aspire radio programs and such, and so our theme today is How Can I Know? And I'll tell you a little bit more about that as we go on here. I want to thank you for listening. I want to thank my sponsors. You are listening to this radio program as well as watching the TV programs on aspire.org via the graciousness and the generosity of my sponsors who make sure that these programs are available for you through their donations, their tax-deductible gifts. And I want to thank them from the bottom of my heart for their kindness and their loving support. Without them, we would not be on the air. And I hope that if you are enjoying these radio programs or that they're helping you in some way, as well as the TV, that you too will join and become a sponsor and help us provide more service to humankind through these opportunities of looking at life from a very different direction. Aspire is not for everyone. You can tell that. It is only for those who are seeking, truly seeking. And hopefully you're one of those people and you can see the value of what it is that I'm offering. And I hope you become a sponsor. Please do so. You can do this by going to the website at aspire.org, and you will see sponsorship or support, and you can learn all about what it means to be a sponsor and all the loving gifts that you get for being a sponsor. It's a really wonderful thing. Let's get to the questions. How can I know? What does it mean to know? This is a very interesting thing because we know many things that our knowledge can't support. We know that our heart beats, for instance, but we don't really know the dynamics of the science of the heart as people. I mean, I don't know the dynamics of my own physical heart. I know there's air, but I don't see it and I breathe it. You can look at it in the form of chemistry and elements in this world, and it's one of the most beautiful of the elements. But, well, do I understand it completely? Well, I could look at it scientifically, but, yeah, I'm saying to you, not everything that we think we know, do we know. So let's go to the questions and maybe I can explain more. The first one comes from Matt. How can I know the meaning of my life when, as you say, it can't be taught? It has to be caught, as you say. How can I know what I can't be taught? Matt. I love you, Matt. Whoever you are, wherever you are, I love the way you phrased it and it was very well done. I don't want you to learn anything from me. I'm not worthy of your learning. Learning from me would only make you clumsy and difficult. What I want you to see is where I'm pointing. I can't learn anything from anyone. I have sat with enlightened masters, people who were totally awakened. Totally. And I couldn't learn from them either. And they told us, every one of them told me, don't learn. Put yourself in the experience. See the bigger picture and you will already be there. They were right. So I don't want you to learn. I don't want you to sit there and learn about what it means to spiritually awaken. That won't do you any good at all. I don't want you to learn about the Eightfold Path that I did, let's say on TV or passing through the fires. I don't want you to learn the steps. I want you to become aware because you and I, in our truest form, are nothing more than pure awareness. You are the awareness of this life. You are a part of it. You're like You're like a part of the ocean. You're a part of something that is great, big, and huge. And this ocean that functions to serve our world, it really can't be, it can't be cut up into little scientific forms, molecules, all of that. You can't tell the Atlantic from the Pacific. You can't tell because water is water. And it doesn't make any difference whether you're from the Atlantic or the Pacific Ocean. You are water. Now, you can argue about the saltiness of the water and all of that, which is not the point of it all. The point is, you are love. And love is everywhere, like the ocean is the ocean. And whether it's the Atlantic or the Pacific, you are love. So I can't teach you about love. I can express love and show love, but that's all I can do. The frustrating thing of my work is that a lot of the things that are very important can't be taught. The person who is sitting there before me as the student, in the role of a student, already has all of these elements within them. These elements are laying dormant inside them, but they're there, and they're there to be activated merely by the glance of our attentions. And when my attention is based in the whole effort of awakening elements within me that have been dormant for many, many lifetimes, that is when I'm moving towards the meaningfulness of my own life, the substance of my living. That is when everything becomes pertinent in my life to help me awaken. If you only learn what I say, you'll only live what I say. And I don't want you to live what I say. I want you to experience what's beyond my words. My words are clumsy. My thoughts are inane. And they don't mean anything. It is the gap and the pause between my words, the spaces between my sentences, the space between your breath of inhale and exhale that matters so very much. That is all it's about. And should you enter into that space, should you be willing to sacrifice what you think is a you, or what you think is important about being a you, and enter into that space, you will find oneness. You will find your authentic nature. It has always been there. It will always be there. It is as you. It is the matter of truth. Truth can't be taught. It has to be caught. You can present facts and truths to people over and over and over again, and they still won't get it. They can understand it intellectually, but they cannot maturate it into their being. They cannot bring out that beingness that lives within them and, again, become one with the information. Most people are tied to their genetics and their DNA. And there they firmly sit, rooted in this stubbornly, and do not want to see the bigger picture of their life and themselves beyond whatever it is they can think. I found out many years ago that what I could think was very small. What I could think in my brain, what I could think in my beliefs, what I could think at all about anything was very small and useless. So the effort really is not to think about it, but to live in those gaps, those pauses, those spaces between our thoughts and our words, and enter into that which is oneness. In doing this, you're going to find that the ego, the persona of us, suffers grievously because it lives like a parasite off of our emotional intents, our emotionality, as it were. And it thrives in this emotionality all the time. So there is no real way for us to awaken spiritually when we're learning things, because when I'm learning, it's pseudo. It's not real. I don't want you to learn from me, Matt. I want you to live from that which lives within you. It is that beautiful thing that lives within you that has no name, no rhyme, and no reason for its existence according to our logic and reasoning. It is simply that which exists as love itself, as pure being. So you ask me, how can I know the meaning of my life when, as you say, we can't learn it? You must trust. Trust that it is there. And if you can't trust that it is there, then you will have many experiences in this lifetime to show you that it is. Some of these experiences will be really fun, and some of them not so. You have a choice. You can learn it the difficult way, which the way most of us have learned it. I know I can say that would be true for me. Or you can learn it because deep inside you know. If you follow that knowingness beyond logic and reasoning and emotionality and fear, you will understand exactly what I am talking about. Matt, thank you for your beautiful question. And thank you for your kind comments about Aspire. And please forgive me. Namaste. To learn without thinking. Wow. Next one comes from Trey. He lives in Florida. If I can't learn it, how can I understand it? It doesn't make any sense to me. Please help, Trey. The more profound a truth is, Trey, the less there will be to learn it. The ability to learn according to the way we are on this earth is through thought. Thought is about logic and reasoning, things we can hold to in our mind. Taking something, let's say, as beautiful, let's say, as a bird, and turning it into a thought, a species, and then making that species a part of the worldly experience, and giving it a name, and giving it, a, so to speak, a number, and there you are, you have what you can understand. But to understand the bird, you're going to have to go beyond the biology and the genetics of the bird. To understand is to go beyond the reasoning of the bird's existence on earth and to see its original nature. What is it a part of? Not why can it fly or how does it survive, but what is it a part of? It's a part of the nature of this earth. And what is the nature of this earth? And if you go deeper and deeper and deeper into this, without using logic and reasoning, just sitting, watching, everything will be revealed to you. The revelation of the revolution that is trying to happen within us all by just looking at a bird and not giving it a name, not putting it in its place, not trying to make it what it is or isn't, just watching it non-critically, non-judgmentally, is the very effort of spiritual awakening. You could do this with a rock. Place it before you. And don't make it an object. Just let it be a rock sitting there. Don't ask why it's sitting there. Don't ask what its purpose is. Just let the rock sit there. Just observe it. Without the need to give it a name, a number, a purpose, and a place, you will find the rock will teach you a great deal. It will help you to understand that objects aren't things. And that as we lose our obsession to name everything and give it its place in this world, we've begun to find our place in this lifetime. We begin to see that bigger picture of us that is beyond the concepts of right and wrong, good and bad. We're no longer in that mental duality. We can now see through the state of awareness exactly what we are, the way we are, and that which is our life itself. Now, Trey, to do this kind of work takes a great deal of inner discipline. You have to want it more than you want to be confused. People like to think they're knowledgeable because in knowledgeability, there is that idea that we are profound, that we are invincible, that we are immaculate in some way. But none of that would be true. We just like to think these thoughts. It's what we like to think. If you can do it with a rock and you truly get it, you can also do it with yourself. Place yourself there as the rock and simply observe it. What are you? What are you? How are you? What do you belong to? And then drop all of that and just observe. You will soon see that the body, well, it's something you and I put on. We put our bodies on that we might function in this world. But there is more to our body. The life is more than meat. The body is more than raiment, as Jesus taught. And it is very true. There's so much more to us than we can imagine. So we just go on and on and on, trying to think of ourselves as what we want to be instead of what we are. Give up what you want. Find out who you are. You might be very surprised, Trey, that there is something magnificent going on right before our very eyes, and we don't see it because we're so busy living in the laboriousness of a mind that produces one thought after another, trudging through one thought after another thought after another thought. And trudging through it the way we do, we miss the mark, we miss the meaning, we miss the presence of a great love that lives within us, a love that is way beyond the concepts of, well, whatever we have made love to be in our moral fiber, which is what love is to most people, some kind of pseudo-morality. It's more than that. Love is something much bigger than our morality can hold. So you ask me, if I can't learn it, how can I understand it? If you truly understand it, you would never bother learning it. You won't need to. To understand it is to sit with it, to live in it, to have the experience of it, just to allow it to exist as it is, and to want nothing with all of your heart. That is the essence and the key to everything, to want nothing with all of my heart. One of the most beautiful statements the Buddha ever made, and it is absolutely true. For when we want nothing, the heart can, well, it can bring forth its own nature. And it's a matter of observation, not thought. I hope. hope that helps you. Please forgive me, Trey. Namaste. Great questions. Sometimes it amazes me what people think and how they think and the questions they don't have and the questions they do have. It's always very amazing to me. Last question is a dilly whopper. What do you mean by knowing? I don't get it. I don't know what I know. Frank. And he doesn't tell me where he lives. You don't know what you know. Frank, that is so profound. I was so touched and moved by your beautiful email. Thank you. So you asked me, what do I mean by knowing? There are certain elements, certain states of being within us all that we just deeply resonate to. We respond to it through resonation. We're vibrating in it. This vibration causes more than a thought. In fact, the vibration doesn't even touch thought. My thoughts are immune to the whole idea of what it is to vibrate into a position of, well, shall we say, spiritual awakening. People don't think themselves into spiritual awakening. They resonate into spiritual awakening. It is a vibration. It is an ebb, a flow, and a beauty. This beauty, this resonation, this whole experience that I'm talking about here is far more than just something you can use with reason and logic. Take a look just for a moment, Frank. What do you know? What do you truly know inside you? Beyond the concept of doubt and fear, beyond the concept of reason and logic, what do you truly know? Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What do you feel he was saying there? We do not know most of the time what we are doing. Our perception of life is very small. We have a very limited scope on what it means to authentically live in this experience of life. The only thing we know is what we can taste and touch, our five senses, and our logic and reasoning. And with this, we have carved out very brutal, cruel lifetimes, where the only thing that mattered was what we could get, have, hold, and touch. But what we didn't know is that these things were holding us, getting us, causing us to stir. We just don't get it because we're so busy in the physical realm. We don't see the transitory for what it is. So, my dear one, here's the deal. And here's what you need to do. What do you know that your mind cannot think? That is the knowing. What do you know that your mind cannot think? What is it that lives within you that is beyond the concept of thinking and relates only to the presence of a great love that lives within you? This love takes many forms and in many ways is fashioned after the whole essence of a compassion and a willingness that supersedes our fears and our hatreds. Just take a look at it for a few moments every day, and I guarantee you, Frank, you'll understand that which you know that you really can't think nor truly understand in a human way. Oh, I talk out both sides of my face, don't I? It's part of the work and it's what I do. I hope that helps you, Frank. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste. Well, here we are at the end of another week. I want to thank you for listening. I do. I'm very grateful for your attentions. It's very important to me, and I hope in some way I've served you. Have a beautiful weekend. Thank you for listening, and of course, please forgive me, eh? Namaste.